So we're going to wrap this thing up rather shortly here with a few more thoughts on Thanksgiving, and I'm starting with one of my favorite theologians, peanuts. Charlie Brown placed a bowl full of dog food for Snoopy for his Thanksgiving feast. He returns to the house to enjoy a sumptuous turkey dinner with all the trimmings with his friends, and Snoopy starts marching to his doghouse as he stares and looks at his bowl. He says, "How about that? Everyone else is eating turkey today, but just because I'm a dog, I get dog food." As he trots off along his way, he then concludes, "Of course, it might have been worse. I could have been born a turkey." Well, most everyone is thankful for something, even if it's just that things aren't worse for them. Some find it easier to express their thanks. I read about a husband who one day said to his wife, "Dear, you've been such a wonderful woman. There are times that I can hardly keep from telling you how thankful I am." You have to think about that. So Thanksgiving is an age-old topic. We bring it up, we talk about it, we do it, we sing about it, we share our thanksgivings with each other. But I just want to kind of stir up three things for you very quickly to sort of help infuse your week as you go forward and then the days that come behind it about Thanksgiving. Number one is that we need to ensure that Thanksgiving focuses upon the object of our thanks. I noticed that, probably because I've been thinking about this, but in many of the Thanksgivings that were shared this morning, the Thanksgiving was first to God and then for something else. In the very first so-called Thanksgiving proclamation that was made in our country by Governor Bradford, November 29, 1623, he specifically focused on the object of Thanksgiving. Quote, "Your magistrate do proclaim that all ye pilgrims render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for his blessings." Oftentimes I think when we pause to say, "What are you thankful for?" we get focused on the thing. And whether it's the holiday or whether it's any other day, our thanksgiving is not so much for something as it is to someone. Scripturally speaking, we find this over and over and over again. It's not that the thing we're thankful for is unimportant. It's that the God who gives it is supremely important. And therefore, He deserves our ultimate thanks. Or another way of saying it is, we're just simply fools to thank God for the gift and not thank the giver. So it's encouraging to be reminded about how Scripture focuses this. Paul wrote to the Philippians in the opening verses of Philippians chapter 1, "I thank my God on every remembrance of you." And we kind of read over that, but I thank my God on every remembrance of you. And then he goes on to talk about his prayer for them and his concern for them. James chapter 1, we've studied here in the past. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It is God who is the giver of good gifts. Therefore, God deserves to be honored and given the thanksgiving. Psalm 136 is sometimes referred to as Israel's national anthem. It's an antiphonal song. That is, there is a cantor who reads a line and then the congregation responds and they have the same line all the way through, "For your loving kindness is everlasting." And it opens up then giving the focus to how is it that we give our thanks. He begins, "Give thanks to the Lord." And the congregation would say, "For His loving kindness is everlasting." And then the cantor says, "Give thanks to the God of gods." And they respond, "For His loving kindness is everlasting." And the next verse, "Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And the focus keeps drawing people up to who should be the object of their thanks. Psalm 118, verse 1, does a similar thing, where the psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord, not for what is good, but for He is good." And Colossians 3:17, parallel to the verse that Chie just cited, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father by Him." There is an object to our thanksgiving. Our family, for our years, as a kid growing up, and we have often continued this around Thanksgiving dinner, someone will ask the question, "Well, what are you thankful for this year?" And we'll go around the table. Might be during dinner, might be at dessert, and if we get distracted, then maybe it's after dinner. But somewhere along that day, we try to pause and give thanks. But if we're not explicit, it's not that the thing that we are thankful for isn't worth being thankful for, but if we're not explicit to remind ourselves that that thanks belongs ultimately to God, then we can get all focused on our own situation, and that can actually become sort of a negative thing. If we forget that God is the object of our thanksgiving, then our thanksgiving becomes very circumstantial. It actually becomes very self-centered. It becomes about what I think is good and makes me happy, and I'm glad to see has gone on in and around my world. But it's all focused on me. In Scripture, thanksgiving is focused upward to God, and that's where it lifts our heart to do something that we otherwise might not do. Maybe you understand the man who said, "I am only thankful for my wife when she fixes my favorite dinner and doesn't ask me to do anything." Really? A very self-centered view of how to find thanksgiving. If it's all about the way life is going and the way I feel about it, then it's pretty God-devoid, and self gets exalted. I was thinking about what is the difference between the people of God giving thanks and the community apart from God giving thanks. There will be people who have no sense of God's presence in their Thanksgiving meal that might still ask each other the same question: what are you thankful for? What is the difference between the one and the other? Hopefully the believer focuses their thanks upon God. They recognize Him as the source, as the giver of all of those good gifts, as the one who has sovereignly dispensed His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness, and therefore He is front and center. If our thanksgiving is rooted in the Scriptures, we are going to keep it focused on the object. That's number one. Number two, remember that sometimes thanksgiving is actually an act of the will. Now, I know this sounds a little crazy because often when we're thankful, it's about things that naturally come to us, but Scripture does not enjoin us only to give thanks to God for the things that feel good. Give thanks in everything, Paul writes. Psalm 118, verse 28 speaks of this commitment, this choice that I make to give God thanks in the midst of every part of my life. The psalmist there says, "You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you." Thanksgiving and praise are like the left and the right hand of this process. Oftentimes we merge them together without much thought. They both come down to this simple principle that truth about God, so knowing what is right about God, will bring a committed response to God. He is God. He is sovereign. He is King. He is in control. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is kind. His mercy endures forever. He always deserves thanks. That's the truth about God. So how do I respond to that? I want to give Him thanks. I will give Him thanks. I choose to give Him thanks. And I'm hoping you will do the same and have been doing the same. Thirdly, thanksgiving needs habits and rhythms, lest we forget God's goodness. A couple of these things have already been mentioned, but when God paints the sunset for us, night after night after night, have you noticed how sometimes you can just miss it? You can just kind of take it for granted. When you first move here, you run to the window every night. Somebody calls you and says, "Did you see the sunset tonight?" You know, I haven't had one of those calls in quite some time. The sad part is, and it's just a part of, I think, of the fallen and distracted human nature, is that when things are first given to us, we acknowledge that gift, we rejoice in that gift, we are grateful for that gift, and when it's given over and over and over and over again, we start to just kind of take it for granted. It becomes a part of the background of our lives. When you have a loving wife who gives to you on and on and on, faithfully, consistently, kindly, you just sort of, I'm sorry, sometimes assume that that's the way they're going to be. And what maybe drew immense verbal appreciation at one point becomes just sort of too taken for granted. It's a challenge that I give to myself, and I falter often, but I keep striving, is to be able to focus afresh on the consistent, faithful things of who God is and what He does, and to offer Him thanksgiving for it. Brian Jeffrey Leach wrote a little prayer on this theme, and here is my adaptation of it. "Father, just as we are thrilled by little shows of affection and beauty, I suspect that you too like to be taken aback by gratitude from people who until now have taken your generosity for granted. I don't want to be one who flees to you in the midst of trial or adversity, but remains distant and mute when you faithfully shower your abundant riches upon me." How do we help ourselves not forget? We make a habit of remembrance. We'll talk about this more on the first Sunday of January. God establishes habits of remembrance for His people because He understands that we are prone to forget. So how can you create a new habit of gratitude in your life? I'm going to give you 5 suggestions. That's all they are. 5 suggestions. They are to get you started. You may not like any one of these. You may say, "Come on, Dale, can't you be more creative than that? Can't you do something that registers in my heart a little bit more deeply?" I'm not trying to register in everybody's heart, frankly. I'm trying to get your mind on a track so that the Spirit of God can whisper to your heart how you can best do this, because it needs to be your habit, not my habit. It needs to be something God stirs in you, not in me. But here are 5 suggestions that I've gathered up from my own experience and from reading on the topic of ways that can create habits of thanksgiving. Number 1, use a journal or a log. Write in it on a regular basis, maybe even daily. There are people who make this a habit for years of their life. It is a part of most recovery movements to keep a gratitude log. Why? Because our mind is refreshed in the goodness of God when we record the good things that He has done, the things that bring thankfulness to us. And when we get up some morning and we're not feeling very thankful and we're not even sure what to write in that log, then we can open it up and read what we wrote a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, and be reminded and refreshed, and our perspective is changed. Or you can just commit to begin every day with words of thanks to God. They can be aloud. Just warn the rest of your family you're not going crazy. Or they can be silent. This is just kind of taking it out of a book and putting it out of your mouth. Sometimes we roll out of bed, the alarm goes off, or our spouse removes us forcefully and says, "Get going with your day. I need all the covers right now." We pop up and we're ready to focus on God. And some days, frankly, we're just trying to get the second brain cell to turn on. We're running for a cup of coffee to get the third brain cell to turn on. But if we have a habit that we meet God as we arise, I have certain habits that happen every morning. God designed my body, so I have to have those habits. Connect your thankfulness to a habit that you already have. You brush your teeth, you use the bathroom, you take a shower or wash your hair or clean your glasses or put your contacts in. Something that you can kind of use as a trigger that says, as I do this, this is a moment to focus my day in gratitude and to thank God for what He puts on my heart. Or those don't work. Then maybe if you have a regular quiet time sometime during the day, devotional time, you just build a practice into that of taking a few moments for thankfulness and begin by giving God His thanks. If you don't have a personal time, but you're in a small group or some other gathering of people, then invite the others in your group to say, hey, when we get together, we need to share what God has done that we can be thankful for. Okay, now we're toward the end of the day. You haven't made it yet. When you sit down at dinner, you probably give thanks for your food. Focus how you give that thanks and make something in the dialogue that you have over the dinner table about what you are thankful to God for in that day. Number five, share your thanksgiving with the people who deserve to be thanked. Let them know that you are thankful to God for them periodically so they don't get a big head about it, but they need to hear. When we think of them being thankful, don't like that, be like that guy who almost could come to give his wife thanks. So I'm going to ask you to do something right now. There's pens in the pockets in front of you if you don't have your own. We do allow those to be stolen, by the way. We have a gracious church member who donates them to us, and when we run out, we buy more. So that when you use that pen, you can be thankful to God for Cayucas Community Church, who gave you in that moment a tool with which to write, okay? That's your prayer prompter. You can also leave it in the pocket there for somebody else. We allow that too. What I want you to do is at the bottom of your outline, if you're writing, if you prefer to do this in the techno world, get out your phone, open up your reminders. I'm almost done. I won't think you're looking up the football scores. And jog your memory. Put the name of a person and a reason for which you want to give thanks. And if you can't share that with them before you walk out the door here today, maybe they aren't in the room, maybe you're distracted with other things, you'll have some means to remind you that before this day, certainly before this week is over, here is at least one person to whom you will offer specific thanks to God and let them know why you are thankful for them in your life. Paul did this, by the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he gives us an example. He's writing to a church there. Thessalonians, I translate that, Cayucas. We give thanks to God always, Cayucans, for all of you. And then he gives three specific reasons. The New Living Translation does them this way. For your faithful work, and your loving deeds, and your enduring hope. As one who walks with a group of God's people and seeks Him with you, those would be part of my thanksgiving for you this morning. I'm trying to do my own assignment, if you didn't get that. All right? I am thankful to God for people who are faithful in their work and in their pursuit of God, and who engage in loving deeds toward each other, toward the community, and toward the world at large, and who are living with an enduring hope. Because we all realize that this world is short, and our time, all of us, will not be that far away when God calls us home if Jesus doesn't come. And we have the opportunity of then being face to face with the one who deserves the gratitude of gratitudes forever and ever and ever. Amen. So what are you going to do when you walk out the door? You're going to remember the object of your thanksgiving. You are going to remind yourself that occasionally life will be such that you will give your thanks out of your will because your feelings are still trying to catch up. But because God is always worthy, we can choose to give Him thanks, and you will work toward a habit that you use to cultivate regular gratitude in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to declare to You our thanks, not just today. We want You to know how much we understand the extent of Your grace and love, how desperate we would be if You had not reached out to us and in Christ sent us one who would save, who would forgive, who would deliver, and who would give us His own righteousness, that we might become a part of Your family, Your forever family. Lord, I ask that You would forgive me and forgive us when we become self-focused or grumbly and we miss or ignore or fail to give You the thanks that You deserve. Let this day be one to refresh and revive us as Your people to be more grateful, to be more aware, to be more ready to not only give You thanks, but then to share it with those You put upon our hearts. And we ask, Father, that this would be a week that stirs a lifelong pattern. And if that pattern is already there, that it would be increased and multiplied to the praise of the glory of Your grace. You are good all the time, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.